Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
If you leave me now, you'll take away the biggest part of me.
A Chicago bringing us back, 17 till the hour. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Having a great visit with our good friend Diana Furchtgott-Roth, former chief economist for the U.S. Department of Labor. How about that? Was that in the Bush 41 era?
That was from 2003 to 2005.
Reagan, the Reagan 43. Era.
No, Bush 43.
Yes, I'm sorry.
I'm the Secretary Elaine Chao.
I lost a generation there. Yeah, Ms. Chao. I've met her before. So, okay. And also, folks, director of economics21.org, senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute. And so check out the website, economics21.org. You'll be smarter when you do. Diana, thanks again for being here.
It's great to be on your show.
I want you to give us an update on the Obama's overtime rules. Folks, don't call it a law because it's not a law. It's been imposed by the Department of Labor, and it is. And Diana, I'm calling this overtime rules regime, this whole thing that they're doing, I'm saying that it's going to turn out to be the little brother of Obamacare. What do you think?
Well, this is. Very possibly. What it says is that people who are earning right now, if they earn up to 24,000, white-collar workers have to be paid overtime. They're not allowed to have flexible schedules. This amount is going up to 47,000 as
right.
of December 1st. So if you have someone who's on salary, who's a white-collar worker, who is on salary, who comes and goes, who maybe can take a couple of hours off during the day, to watch a kid's soccer game,
yep.
and then come back and make up the time on the weekend. As of December 1st, that won't be allowed unless they make over $47,000 a year.
This is what unless you put them on hourly, and when you do that, then you have to keep up with every second. If they take a break, if they go to lunch, that means little companies are going to have to keep up with every turn of their employees.
Exactly. That's right. That means you have to put in a mechanism for clocking in, clocking out. You have to reclassify employees by dividing their salary by the number of hours they work. And if they work overtime, by the way, you can divide it by that also. So these people are not necessarily going to be paid more even if they work more than 40 hours a week, because you can always pay them a lower rate than you are paying them on salary.
Right.
So the estimates from the Labor Department are that only there'll be about $1.2 billion more in overtime payments, but it's going to cost employers about $19 billion to comply with it.
To come between employees and employers. And here's what gets me, Diana. The Democrat Party has always been big on flex time, right?
Yes.
This is going to be the end of flex time, isn't it?
For those employees, yes, flex time is going to be a perk of upper earners.
Here's one of the arguments I've been making. So if an employer comes to me, as they have before, and said, "Boss, my mother is sick, and I'm going to have to be me and my siblings have to take care of her, and my week is the second week of the month. Can I work less that week and more later so I can take care of my mother? I won't be able to do that with her or him."
That's exactly right.
Or if I say to them, "Hey guys, the first of the month is always really busy. The third week is not. Would you guys work a little more in the third week and a little less in the first week and a little less in the third week?" And they would probably love that. And yet we wouldn't be able to do that now.
Exactly. Yes. So I have a young person who works for me who gets up early in the morning to do the e-brief, and in exchange, I tell him during vacation times, if he wants to take more time over Thanksgiving or Christmas and be with his family, I say, "Fine, you've worked enough." I wouldn't be able to do that. Plus, I would have to supervise. Not only would he have to fill out the timesheet, I would have to supervise the timesheet. And he couldn't work from home because I would have to be supervising his time in the office. Because if he worked from home, he couldn't prove to me that he was only working the 40 hours a week.
So, you know, I hadn't even thought about that, Diana. What's this going to do for teleworkers?
Oh, it ends teleworkers.
My goodness.
$47,000.
I hadn't even thought about the telework. I just wrote an article on teleworking. It didn't occur to me about the teleworking thing. Because folks, are you getting that? If you have an employee, which many more and more people have, as I said, I just wrote an article about this. More and more people have employees who, the best employee that you find for your job lives two states over, and rather than move, you let them work for you remotely.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Or they say, look, I need to, some employees will say, I need to work at home for 2 days a week to take care of my child, and you let them do that. Now they won't be able to.
Right. That's exactly the problem.
Wow. Hadn't even thought about that one. Dinah, is there anybody in Congress trying to block this?
Well, there's just been a lawsuit last week with about 21 state attorneys general.
Yeah. Are they going to be able to stop it?
Groups. And if we have a new president, the president could just settle the lawsuit and withdraw the rule.
Yeah,
it's going to take a new president to withdraw this rule and to end this, because even if Congress passed a law to stop it, then President Hillary Clinton is not going to sign that into law.
Right, right. Folks, this is I'm just saying, you heard it from Diana. She's
and
tracking
it's also
this.
Potentially illegal because the way the rule is structured, the amount goes up every 3 years.
Wow.
So it's 47,000 now, but then it goes up in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Congress did not give the Labor Department the authority to raise it without a notice of proposed rulemaking.
Talk about this is lawlessness, folks. And I'll tell you, this is another example of this isn't designed for anything but to get control over our lives. Obamacare was not about health care reform. It was about control. Overtime rules is not about paying you more money. It's about control. Tintel, stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.